tonight. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your protection. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for your purpose. And thank you that we're here to share your word tonight, and we yield to the works and guardians and leading of the Holy Spirit, that every person who's listening may receive direction and instruction and blessing. We open ourselves to you to be used. We thank you for this night. We thank you for all who listen. We thank you for all the members who at home, wherever they are, your hands upon them. And we thank you for all the people around the world who tied into this broadcast. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We're going to read some familiar verses for a reason, because the problem may be they're too familiar. And there's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, there's a verse that most Christians know by heart in the printing of the verse. But tonight, the subject matter that I'm going to deal with, going to pull this verse out in the open that you may be able to do a more vivid job in the realm of the spirit of dealing with things. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, very familiar verse, 17. Now I want you to notice the word Christ. I want you to underline that word Christ. He's the Messiah, he's the anointed one and his anointing. Jesus did everything by the anointing. He worked in and with the Spirit of the Lord upon him and the Spirit of the Lord within him. And the subject that I'm going to talk about in this time, the things we've been dealing with, there's a great lesson for us to learn for a lifetime. 17th verse said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5, 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, notice the statement, be in Christ, then it takes upon a new connotation. He's a new creature, or he's a new creation, or he's capable of functioning in a new realm. There's a lot of identification in this verse. Sonship, the divine nature, I am. Our relationship with God is revealed in this verse. Once you get in Christ, it brings you into a new spectrum of living. He says, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All right, so in this divine dimension, that's a word I want to use. You're going to work out for us tonight what we talked about. We're dealing with something that this divine dimension, this divine connection. Now go to another scripture in Galatians chapter 3. I'll give you the subject matter. I want you to take good notes. It's a powerful revelation that the Lord has given me, and it's going to help so many people at this time. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Now notice Christ is there too, and think about the anointing, think about the new dimension, the new realm, the new ability, the new power, new understanding, new wisdom that is available to you because you are in Christ. It's a connection that you have, it's an identity that you have, that you can function in the realm of the supernatural. Let me say it again, that you can function in the realm of the supernatural. Now in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, we're going to talk about Christ again. The first word is Christ. But notice where it said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. And you're talking about the cross. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, paid for us. Then verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. See, through Jesus Christ. He called him Jesus Christ. Now he's the Savior and he's the anointed one. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, you write that in Galatians, go back to chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, and here's another way we can identify with the cross of Christ, with the crucifixion, with the death, with the burial, with the resurrection, with the ascension of Christ, and the ability of Christ, and the availability of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Now, remember we started out, therefore, if any man be in Christ. Remember we said Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, here we have an identity application here in Galatians 2:20, because we died with him. He died for us. We died with him. We rose with him. We actually ascended with him, and we are seated with him. And those things are not normal. Those things cannot be religious ideas. They have to be revelation, have to be a rhema, they have to be alive to you. In Galatians 2:20, it says, I'm crucified with Christ. That means I'm crucified with him. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And he tells us how. And the life which I now live in the flesh, notice, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And it's a grace work. It's a grace work. Now, during these time in prayer, God revealed to me that Christ, the master of all crises. Christ, the master of all crises. We're going to deal with a health crisis tonight, but I got some things to cover before we go deal with the health crisis. Because when I get there, I want you to be pre-prepared to walk and function in this type of anointing we're talking about of Christ. Now, let's get one or two definitions of a crisis. A time of intense difficulty, trouble, or danger. A time of intense difficulty, trouble, or danger. We could identify with it in this season we've been dealing with. Secondly, a time when a difficult or important decision must be made. Now, I've been dealing with choices and decisions. They are different. Choices, you go to a category. Decision, you get a direct word from God and just do it. You got that? Well, that's so important. Now, listen. You get a direct word from God. You don't go through the category. When you heard from God, a decision has been made. So you don't have no category, A, B, C, to determine what you're going to do. It's a decision, all right? So it's a time when a difficult or important decision must be made. Decision, not choice, decision. And then number three, here we are called upon the third definition, the turning point of a disease, when an important change takes place, indicating either recovery or death. A turning point, and we are here at this turning point, and tonight we're going to deal with this crisis. Notice we didn't say that Christ is the manager of all crises. Uh-huh. Christ don't manage. Sometimes people manage sickness and disease with medicine, but you must never stop at the managing it, to hold it at a certain place. You got to find out a way to get rid of it. All right, so now, we're going to deal with a health crisis tonight. I want to bring you through some things that will give you patterns to go by. I have six things, six fate factors in a crisis. I'm going to give you six fate factors that you can use in a crisis. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. We're dealing with Christ, the master of all crises. So he's throughout the scriptures, the Holy Spirit reminded me that God had showed us Christ constantly dealing with crises. And he mastered everyone. Amen? Amen. And he mastered everyone. Oh, I got another scripture then. In Hebrews 13:8. Is that the one where Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today and forever? Hebrews, I think it is. Hebrew. I need to find that one because that's important. That's another aspect of Christ that he still operates the same way. It's Hebrews 13:8. Put that in your note. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Three categories. Yesterday, today, and what we're going through today, Christ is the same Christ. And so he handled crisis. the same way. We just have to be aware of this divine abilities with our identification with Christ, that there's a certain way we have to handle things. And in my notes, when I start giving them to you, you're going to see how to handle a crisis. All right, in Mark chapter 5, verse 25, I'm just going to read the whole thing, and you'll see the end result, the beginning, you'll see the end result. And then I'm going to go back to my notes and give you ways to activate Christ in crisis. That your faith know how to activate or how to cooperate or how to connect with Christ in these times, what you're dealing with, family members, whatever you're dealing with in your home, whatever you're dealing with. All right. In Mark chapter 5, verse 25, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. And verse 26 said, it tells us the crisis. And she suffered many things of many physicians. And then she, not only physically, but financially, and had spent all that she had. And then at the boot of that, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touch his garment. For she said, and you can switch that around, I'll get to it when I get there. If I may touch but his clothes, she said it first, I shall be made whole. I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt straightway, that word is important, underline that word, straightway, immediately, suddenly. I told her I had a sudden healing in my body a couple of weeks ago. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she would heal of that plague. I mean, it happened so quick. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Something happened. And the disciples said unto him, see thou the multitude, see you, I'm going to deal with the multitude in a little while. Strong indeed, and said thou, who touched me? He looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And she said unto her, and he said to her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Go in peace and be whole. Now notice he said, be whole of thy plague. Now, that's a health crisis. You look at the verse 25 again. You see a certain woman which had the issue of blood. How long? 12 years, a long time, isn't it? And then not only that, she was suffering and suffered many things of many physicians. Now, these doctors was trying to help her. And doctors will tell you, I can take you so far and no more. It's up to the Lord. And had spent all that she had financially, and it was nothing better, but rather grew worse. You see that? That's a crisis, isn't it? I would believe that's a health crisis. And I wrote down for your notes, she had a crisis until she heard about Christ. She had a crisis until she heard about Christ, because Christ is always a decision. You don't have to make a selection, it's a decision with Christ. Now take these notes and they'll be applicable for the battles of this crisis that we've been dealing with, and any crisis that ever come up in your family, your life. Condition in a crisis must be dealt with in faith. Condition in a crisis. You can't deal with the condition. You got to deal with it in faith. You got to have a trust in God. And what she did, she got to the point where she dealt with it by faith. Condition in a crisis must be dealt with in faith. Everybody understand that? Yeah, you got to. You can't look at the condition. Let the condition determine how you're going to come out. You have to see beyond that in your identification with Christ, with the cross, with the death, with the burial, with the resurrection, with the ascension. That you have a power beyond that crisis. You have a power beyond that condition. There's no condition that can come against a child of God, can stand head to head with a child of God. When that child of God is operating by faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross. There's another thing that if you're not operating in faith, I'm glad he said you must be, give me the revelation that you must do well with faith. The next point is very important. You must, when you're dealing with a crisis, you must not copy normal pattern.
Oh, come on.
You must not copy normal pattern. Be open for something out of the ordinary. See, that's why you got to be in faith, because everybody else doing it in another way. But personally, Christ deal with us when we're in a crisis, so you must not copy normal pattern. In other words, normal pattern most of the time does not work. So you got that? So the condition in the crisis must be dealt with in faith. How many got that? Secondly, you must not copy normal pattern. In other words, be ready for God to give you something fresh. And your faith is the only thing going to be to deal with it, because your feeling not going to be to deal with it. And even your fellow yokeman might not be to, your fellow Christian might not be to deal with it. It's between you and him. All right? Now, this woman did all these things. I'm going to get back to it in a few minutes. But here's the third thing. Confess in the face of the crisis what is going to happen to you. Confess in the faces, in the face of the crisis, what's going to happen to you. In other words, get it from God, and don't try to use no carbon copy, but through prayer and through studying the word, God will give you direction. Take those directions in which this woman did in this miracle, in this health crisis she had. Health crisis. I want y'all to hear that word. Health crisis. Confess in the face of the crisis what is going to happen to you. With Jesus' stripe, I'm healed. Yeah, you see what I'm saying? You have to say that. And then I saw, when I was meditating about this woman, when I'm meditating this subject, Christ the master of all crises, I saw this. Never follow the crowd. Press through and make a new move. Because there was a crowd there, but she didn't follow the crowd. She pressed through the crowd to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. Might be the only one got healed there. See? So, in crisis, you don't jump in the crowd. You have to listen to God and see what he's saying. Never follow the crowd. Press through and make your move. She did that. You know, she pressed in to touch the hem of his garment. I'm going to talk about that, but I'll talk about it a little bit now. I want to read again what she was dealing with, and we know it's a crisis, a health and healing crisis. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, she was bleeding, constantly bleeding, weak. And by that, with the Jewish religion, she was an outcast. She wasn't supposed to be around people. And the woman has suffered, not a few things, many things, of many physicians. Many doctors tried to help her. And had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Now look, the turning point. The turning point is verse 27. The turning point is verse 27. I said the turning point is verse 27. When she heard of Jesus, she heard of Jesus, it turned things around. What she heard about him, that he was a healer, and that there was no crisis or no case he had ever turned down. She had to hear that, you see. She undoubtedly in her faith heard he can handle it. And he can stop death at the door.
Yes, that's
right. She heard that, you see. So he said in verse 27, now follow me. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. Now, that verse is better understood by first reading verse 28. See, when she heard of Jesus, first part of 27 and go to verse 28. For she said, See, so she heard, said, then acted. She said, if I may touch but this cloak, I shall be whole. And then she made the action. You follow that, right? All right. When you're dealing with a crisis, here's what the Spirit of God said to tell the body of Christ and tell the Word of Life Christians in it. Cry out and give God the glory for your freedom. Cry out and give God the glory for your freedom. She did. She cried out and gave God the glory for her freedom. And going wrong in this preparation and getting to down to certain areas in this text, I had to go back up because I had to bring us to this question. Crisis come with these type of statement. And then you have to move from the crisis to Christ, move from the natural to the supernatural when you're dealing with a Christ. Because I wrote down what happened when the physician says he or she can't go no further. See, undoubtedly they told her it's the further we can go. Prepare to die. Call the family. But that's not the way Christ worked. See, because miracles, signs, wonders, the supernatural, he can create new things. So Christians really don't have nothing to worry about if they be still and know he's God. Okay. And then I wrote this. I've seen this many times in decades of preaching. And you must remember this, and I want you to record this. Jesus is my champion. He never lost a case. Jesus, no matter what things look like, and I might stay on this for quite some time because I want to take you in the storm. I want to take you on top of the roof. So I might stay on this for quite a few Wednesdays so we can get a good understanding about different type of crisis. This woman had an impossible situation in the natural. But yet, by the Spirit of God, we know she was made whole. That's supernatural. So Jesus is my champion. He never lost a care. Now, we need to hear that in this time, this season. But all this stuff going on, Christians should be able to say, Jesus is my champion. He never lost a care. Jesus Christ is saying, yesterday, today, Christ had redeemed me. See, from the curse of the law. We read that text, right? Galatians 3. Christ had redeemed me from the curse of the law. He made a curse for me. He's redeemed me from the curse that the blessing can flow. And I must believe that. And here's another point the Lord gave me in meditation. Don't let weakness in your body cause you to give up. Let faith and hope work together. Don't let weakness in your body cause you to give up. Let faith and hope work together. All right, now, Christ the master of all crises. You know, we say the crisis is difficult, and we say we have to make decisions because you're going to have to make decision. See, decision is beyond discussion. And if you discuss your crisis with a lot of people, all of them got some ideal. But yet, let me use this word, your breakthrough or your revelation or your supernatural sign and wonder must come by a decision you make based on what God said to you. Got that? Got that? So that's why we started out, see the woman, he told the woman, die, faith made thee whole. You got to have faith because what you're working with is not normal. So I want to give you six faith factors you can use in a crisis. Six faith factors that you can use in a crisis. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Always operate in the now of faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. and the evidence of things not seen. Why y'all don't have that scripture on the board? Hebrews 11 and 1. I'll go to sleep back there. Hebrews 11 and 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So always operate in the now of faith so that the substance, the evidence, and the hope can become one. So that the substance, the evidence, and the hope can become one. That's one of the things that if you're going to let Christ be the master of all crises in your life, you're going to have to operate in the now of faith. Secondly, let faith frame your answers and decision. Let faith frame your answers and decision. Somebody being helped right now.
Yep.
Somebody didn't know what to do while they're listening right now. The Lord is, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now go to Hebrews 11, 3. Go to Hebrews 11, 3. That second factor that you must add to your faith, to let Christ handle all of, be the master of all the crises in your life. Look what it says here. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. See, that verse, I have a book on framing your world with the word of God. You frame your help. You frame your deliverance.
Yep.
You let faith frame it.
Right.
You frame it. The picture's already there. Put the frame around it.
Yeah.
And the picture will appear that you delivered, you're healthy. But your faith, let your faith frame your answers and decisions. Don't let your feeling do it. Don't let that phone call do it. Don't let what you saw on TV do it. That's not God. You have to let your faith do it. Hold fast to what you believe. And what will happen in that aspect, you will be operating in supernatural understanding. Supernatural understanding. Because there are three things that we must know here. In a crisis, we must be able to see what God sees, hear what God hear, and understand what God understand. We are designed by identity in his likeness to know mysteries and to know secrets and to know things that the average person don't know. That's why we can't run with the crowd. We pray for the crowd, but we can't run with them. You got to get off along with God and say, God, what must I do? All right, number three. Keep the fact before you or keep the fact before your faith that God is a rewarder who can't be stopped. If he decides to reward you or if you put yourself in a rewarding position, no power, no satanic power, no other kind of power can stop it when you're operating in faith. Turn to Hebrews 11 and 6. Because what you always got to remember is I'm dealing with a miracle worker. I'm not dealing with a man. I'm dealing with a miracle worker. And so three, keep the fact before your faith that God is a rewarder who can't be stopped. Now, all this woman who got this miracle, I'm going to close out reading about her, but all of this was going on in her life.
Yeah.
See? All the doctors couldn't do her no good, and now she got her faith working, and she said her reward couldn't be stopped. Only person can stop your reward is you. Okay, so that's Hebrews 11 and 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. But that's not all. That he's a rewarder of them. Now notice that didn't just seek him. See, you're seeking him for direction. You're seeking him. You're not so much seeking what you want. You're seeking him so he can show you what to do. That was number three, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. All right, number four, we're talking about six faith factors that you must have in a crisis. Number four, know the power of the crucified life of faith. Know the power of the crucified, Galatians 2:20. Go there, you see it. Galatians 2:20, you can go back over these notes anytime and inject this in your faith, no matter what you're dealing with. You're dealing with a health crisis, you're dealing with a financial crisis, you're dealing with a church problem, you're dealing with a state problem, you're dealing with a nation problem. You can inject this in it. It works in every area because it overrules all areas. Mm-hmm. See, we're talking about spiritual insight, spiritual victory, which overrule all the laws of the land. It's a Romans 8:2. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. It's a higher law. It's a John 6:63. It's higher than the flesh. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. They are Romans 8:14 aspect of life. As many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We're talking about a spiritual attitude, spiritual gratitude, spiritually acting out God's word by faith in the crisis, and let Christ take over the crisis. And Christ going to give you a decision. He's not going to give you a choice. He's going to give you a decision. Christ is not going to give you a fulfillment of somebody else's expectation. He's going to give you something to do to meet the need. All right, so look at this again now. Know the power of the crucified, Galatians 2:20. Know the power of the crucified life of faith. The crucified, Christ said, I am crucified with Christ. Now notice we keep talking about Christ, the anointed one, his anointed. Nevertheless, I live. Then he said, yet not I. But now he said, but Christ lives in me. Now he tells me how I can permit Christ to live in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh. You see, now here's how I live by his faith. The faith of the Son of God who loved me, that's the cross, and gave himself for me. So I'm living in a crucified, resurrected, I never said it before in my life, so listen, a crucified, resurrected, ascended faith. Meaning, no matter how it look, it's already done. So whatever it take to eradicate or remove or erase this crisis, I already have it. I just got to follow instruction. I just got to live my life according to his rule and his plan. Knowing the power of the crucified life of faith is one of the factors, number four, for your faith in a crisis. And I got footnotes. It's so important. Where grace and faith take over. Grace, because that 21st verse says, I'm not frustrated the grace of God. So grace and faith is a divine combination that works in the realm of the supernatural. Number five, speak faith-filled words at all times. Do not or don't let the crisis change your words. Yeah. You know, crisis can change your words. You say, I don't know what we're going to do. Man, look at this. She died. Oh, my goodness. No. Speak faith-filled word at all times. Don't let the crisis change your words. And you know, we've been through a lot of this. People start talking doubt, unbelief, and who reports you're going to believe. You go to talking behind reporters, still talking behind preachers who know what they're talking about and Christians who know what they're talking about. So turn to Mark 11:21 now. And then and put under that number five, say it and see it. Say it and see it. Say it and see it. See yourself healthy. See yourself strong. You might be a little weak. I heard so much stuff. I got a little weak doing this stuff. I'm just telling all, it's all kind of stuff. I had to talk to myself. And I'm not too much shut in because I don't go out too much. Yeah, I'm not too much shut in. I know y'all go always going to the movies and going to different places, you know. I go every now and then, so I'm not really shut in too much. My wife might get in the car and just ride. I said, drive me a little bit. We just ride and look. Mark 11:21 in the back. Mark 11:21 in Mark Gospel, chapter 11, verse 21. At the wrong verse. Mark 11:21. They threw the wrong verse up there. Now we're dealing with speak faith-filled word at all time. Don't let the crisis change your words. All right, Mark 11:21, they never found it. Huh? All right, Mark 11:22. Might find that. And Jesus answered and said unto them, now that's what, have faith in God, no matter what the crisis look like. Stay with your faith. Then he says in Mark 11:23, how to talk. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, crisis, any type of crisis, and be thou cast in the sea, and it may look like it's not going to move, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things what she said shall come to pass. What did he say? Ooh, what a word. And he shall have whatsoever he said. Say it and see it. And then the sixth thing that I want you to add to your faith, to notice, ever-increasing faith is a gift from God to me. And Jude 20, I just put down that Jude 20, beloved worship, building yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. But ever-increasing faith. Now, let me close by Christ, the master of all crises. I didn't say he's the manager. I didn't say he's the manipulator. No, he's the master. He who connect with Christ properly, even in these times, will come out victorious. The master never lost a case. That's why I read Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we're going to look at many cases. But let's go back in closing. I want to go back to Mark 5, and we're going to close up here. Mark 5:25. I want to look at this woman's condition. Again, I want to go back over this so you can see it. And a certain woman, and this is a crisis, a certain woman, which had an issue of blood, how long? I see some of y'all ain't saying, now what y'all doing, y'all daydreaming? 12 years, listen to me, I'm gonna read it again. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood, how long? 12. Yeah, because you need to know the longevity of it. 12 years is a long time.
Yes.
Okay, and the woman was trying to get out of this crisis. And she wasn't yet sitting still. It's 26 verses, and said, and suffered many things of many physicians. And had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Remember now, I'm going to remind you, as I read through the story, I'm close. Condition in a crisis must be dealt with in faith. So I'm saying right now, I'm asking all my members, deal with it by faith. Don't deal with it by feeling. Don't even deal with it only by facts. Because facts cannot stay in the ring with truth. And the word of God is the truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And he says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth make you free. See, the truth can change fact. Your faith is not in fact. Your faith must be in the truth, which is the word of God. And when the word of God is on the scene properly, it changes facts. All right? All right, let's go. I'm going to read this. Let's go. And then I want to remind you again, I say to you, and you've got to go over this, you must not copy normal pattern in a time like this. You must not copy normal pattern. Normal pattern is, you know, you just go to the doctor. Normal pattern is you just keep eating the same way you've been eating.
Uh-huh. Come on.
Normal pattern is you don't recognize this is an immune system problem. It has nothing to do with no gene, nothing to do with no germ, per se, if you get it right in your immune system. Now, I got a many things. My wife has some notes she showed me I'm going to bring back. I preached last year. I preached the year before. Alas, preparing everybody for this. The whole world was being prepared supernaturally for this. If this, some of the instructions my wife brought to me on the porch that she wrote that I said, just those two or three pages you had would have wiped this crisis out.
Yep.
That people would have followed. I mean, I'm some things, profound things were said. The Spirit of God said them, all right? All right, let me hurry now. And so she went through all that, but the 27th verse said, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press. When she heard of Jesus, she said something in verse 28 verse. And she said, if I may touch but his clothes. Look what she said, verse 28. For she said, what kind of faith? If I may touch, but like she should be discouraged. But she's in another category now. She wet woman and been through some stuff, boy. But she's in another category now. She's not dealing with facts, she's dealing with truth. And her faith is loose now. Oh my God. And just as she said, verse 29, and straightway, I love that. Straightway, 12 years, straightway. 12 years, straightway. 12 years, immediately. 12 years, suddenly. I mean, what they've been messing around with and couldn't get done, immediately, faith, and operating in faith, bam, that is. Sam Christ, Sam Lord, Sam Jesus, Sam faith, Sam power, Sam glory is available to us right now. Because he said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hadn't changed. Huh? He said he had redeemed us. I'm redeemed. So we're talking about blood now. We're talking about my freedom is bought. You're talking about anything from the pit of hell, or satanic forces, principalities, and demons, trying to get up on me, I had to recognize that I have authority over them in the name of Jesus and by the power of Jesus' blood and by the power of this book, it is written, huh?
Yep.
I got power, man. And we have to understand that. We have to not be a crybaby and a die baby and a lie baby. Stand up and use the name of Jesus. I like Luke 4:18. Look at Luke 4:18 in my clothes. Look at Luke 4:18. I love it. Christ means the anointed one, his anointed. In other words, the ability to change things supernaturally. The authority to change things supernaturally. That same anointing, that same authority is given to you as a child of God. In Luke 4:18, Luke 4:18 will wipe all crises out. Let's wipe them all out right now. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, wrap them up. The Spirit, look at Jesus, in one voice, Jesus said, let's deal with all crises that will ever show up. One voice. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, saying now, because he have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. That's a crisis there. But he said, I'll clear it up with preaching, you know. He have sent me to heal. Now everybody listen. Now everybody look, turn to that verse, because peace about to come into your home, your car. Peace about to come into your heart. You have to know it's all covered. All aspect of this crisis is covered by Christ and his anointing, his cross, his death, his burial, his resurrection. He's seated looking down on us now. Said, just use what I did. You got the victory. Thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice this word. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. All right, set the poor free. He has sent me to heal the broken. All right, set the brokenhearted free. To preach deliverance. Oh, my goodness. Preach deliverance to the captive. He set the captive free. I mean, just tearing these crises up. Huh? He tearing them up. Look. And recovering of sight to the blind. I'll tear that up, too. And to set at liberty them that are bruised. My goodness, man. My goodness. So let me close. Let me close. I'll come back, I'll deal with another crisis. I'll show you how Christ dealt with crisis. We're dealing with health crisis during this season. We're dealing with wealth crisis. I'm gonna deal with wealth also. When he multiplied the bread, that was a crisis, but Christ was there, and he miraculously gave them a break. So I say to you, I bless you. And I believe that this word, if you go over these words, that the Holy Spirit will tell you more about it and feed on it in Jesus' name. Now also, I want to take the liberty to tell you, in a time like this, the normal pattern is pinch. Hold on to it. But that's not God's pattern. God's pattern is plant. See, this is time to sow like never before. You know, I'm not talking about money because the money just coming everywhere. Money, my members bringing money. They're sending, people sending money all from all over the world to my house. So, I mean, money is not the issue here. I'm just trying to tell you, don't pinch now. It's a time to plant. It's a time to sow. And if you do that, you're going to come out right. Let's see, did I write it down somewhere? One of the biggest financial transaction, and I just got to show you this because I was studying it and I saw it, is in, I think it's Mark. Oh, my goodness. Help me, Lord. One of the biggest financial transactions. I'm going to read before the offering so you can get this. You'll be shocked. The biggest financial transaction in the Bible. The biggest financial. You'll be shocked. You're going to be shocked. In Mark 12:41, the biggest financial transaction in the Bible. You looking for Abraham, you looking for Isaac, you looking for Solomon. You know you can't start out there.
Right.
You can't start out with no Abraham, you can't start out with no Solomon giving. Look at this transaction. And Jesus set over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that was rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow. I mean, she ain't got nobody to take care of her. And she threw in two pennies. It's the biggest transaction ever been taken. Which make a following. Notice what Jesus did in verse 43. And he called unto his disciples and said unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. Because she cast her whole life in there. And she would say, Lord, I'm depending on you. And I'll give it all to you. And you know the Lord didn't fail her. For they cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had. Cast in all that she had. And I mean, it emphasized it, even all her living. I mean, I understood. It said she cast in all that she had, but it said she cast in all her living, and she was a poor widow. What is the Lord saying to her? This is one of the biggest financial transactions in the Bible. Here's a woman who trusted God. I don't care where you are financially. I don't care what time it is now. Just sow. I sold when I was poor. I sold when I was broke. I sold when I didn't have enough money to do nothing. I just sold my way out. So I want you to, right now, sow your way out because you're going to have some financial economy slack going to come now because some places are not going to open back up. Some people are not going to have a job. All right, so you have to, those of you at Word of Life, I taught you how to sow. Find your seed, sow and believe God, sow and believe God. You're doing it for yourself. You're not doing it for God, you're doing it for yourself. And when this lesson, read this lesson over and over, you're going to get some revelation. But this woman touched Jesus' heart. And you can never touch Jesus' heart and don't get some result. So the whole story that I told you, I wonder how she came out. I wonder, you know, how he worked it out for her, what he did, he worked it out. I don't know, one of them rich men saw her, and the Lord touched his heart and said, drop something in her purse, you know what I'm saying? I mean, because God in control of everything. So you ever thought about how did Jesus work this thing out? Jesus ain't going to just talk about this thing and leave that woman in the hole. Somewhere he worked it out for. I see him working it out for you. So you get your tithe and offering ready. And Leroy will tell you about how to get online in various ways. And I'll see you real soon. I think we got about 2 or 3 more weeks. We ought to be back in flowing. And we're going to dance and shout, though, boy. All these years, I've been preaching almost 5 decades. I ain't never been separated from my people this long. You know, I got a few of my family members in my staff, you know, but man, all y'all faces, I miss y'all faces, man. The glow, when the glory hit you, the glow come on you. I miss these girls dancing up here, you know. We'll get there.
Amen.
We'll get there. Thank God. God good to us.
Yes,
yeah.